JesseLeePeterson.com/show. I was telling the people, if you go to JesseLeePeterson.com/show, then you can see JLP, The Hake Report, if you scroll down, Joelle Friday TV, and American Anchor, baby. Nice. And we're off, guys. It's 9.01 a.m. U.S. Pacific daylight time. Daylight time. Finally, daylight saving time has begun. Nice. And it's Monday, March 11th, A.D. 2024. A.D. 2024. So we're going to have a fun... Hopefully we'll have a fun show, right? I think it's possible. It's entirely possible that we have a fun show. I will talk a little bit about a competitor of mine. He had a guest in recent months or years or whenever who actually was let out of prison after doing some crime. And maybe he served his term. I don't know. And then he turned out doing another crime. And his dad did a crime. And then his son also did a crime. And he's like talking about, oh, we're healed. We don't do crimes anymore. But they sure do. So I'll talk about that. I'll also talk about Trump-loving despots. Despots. I call them despots, but I think it's pronounced despots. What a mess. And your calls, guys, if you'd like to call in. And maybe some other things going on in the world. And of course, I'm going to show you some, hopefully, fun Hake music, okay? But anyway, guys, let's get right on with the show!
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, it's the Hake Report, the Hake Report, la la la.
So, how you guys doing? I'm fine. I am wearing a snake shirt. I won't tell you where I got it, which is telling you where I got it. It's a cobra, and it looks sort of similar to the Gadsden flag. You know, the no, don't tread on me. I don't know what Gadsden is. Is that in Texas somewhere? The don't tread on me flag, but this is not a rattler. Nor is it an American snake, I don't believe. Maybe it's an immigrant snake. Because I don't think cobras are normally native to America. They're exotic. But this is a cobra snake. Cobra! But it's on a yellow shirt and brown print, and it's cool. I like it. It's not 100% cotton, unfortunately. But right on. Oh, Hake blowing my eardrums out, says Mr. Pink. Sorry, guys. Sorry. It's just that we're perfecting and correcting the audio, which means that the audio may not be perfect. Bear with us. We're continuing to make updates and upgrades and fixes and things. By we, I mean the editorial we, which is not me at all. It's, Bill the engineer and, Nick, the American Anchor Baby, is helping out, and Hassan is trying to make sense of it. So, pardon me, forgive me, eardrums of Mr. Pink. What a mess. Did you guys catch me on Jake Hudson's show? I mentioned it, but I didn't tell you where to go. Friday morning, when I was opening the show, I was co-hosting with Joelle Friday of Joelle Friday TV and Krishan the Don of Misfit Nation. And I was like, hey, I have an appearance Saturday. So Saturday, 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. this past Saturday, the 9th, I do believe, I appeared on Jake Hudson's show on YouTube. I was on DLive, and we were also on Kick. And you can catch the YouTube video under the appearances playlist, under Hake Appearances. Or if you just search Jake Hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N, you can find it. Or thehakereport.com/appearances. Appearances. Shout out to Jake Hudson. Thank you, sir, for having me on. What a fun time that was. What did we talk about? What in the world? I'm trying to tell people, found it. I figured out the reply command in my Restream chat. Just trying to type in thehakereport.com/appearances in the live chat there. For those of you who are watching live or who you're watching the live chat, he asked me where I was on 9/11, 2001. I got 12 years on that young man, Jake Hudson. So he was 8, I was 20. Not to dox our ages, but I guess that's too late. We talked about my coming to work for the JLP show. We talked about other things going on in the world. And I even neglected to tell the JLP crew because I was coming back from the beach. And so Anchor Baby set up the studio for me because I went to the beach on Saturday. But thank you, Jake Hudson, for having me. He told me that he has autism, Asperger's, and ADHD. One of them he was diagnosed at a young age, like 3 years old. And a lot of young guys are diagnosed with that. But to his credit, he has not taken medication stuff that they've put him on since like 18 or 17 years old. Right on, man. That's cool. So he's a streamer, has a lot of different types of friends and audience members. We even took calls. Anchor Baby even made it... his voice appeared. Can a voice appear? We heard his voice on that show. Nice. Fake conditions, says Blur. Yeah, I feel like a lot of this stuff is pushed on young men who have energy and who have maybe so-called short attention spans and stuff like that, and who hyper-focus on things. That's something that all human beings do, and you don't want to sink into that. You don't want to settle into that or use that as an excuse. And he doesn't like people feeling sorry for him or anything like that. Nobody, I don't know if anybody likes people feeling sorry for them unless they've been perverted and twisted into liking that. A lot of times we do fall, we as being human beings fall into enjoying those dirty emotions, messed up self-sabotaging emotions of pity, false pride, anger, shyness, fear, stuff like that. He kept on saying that he doesn't want to say something stupid to get me mad to make me walk off. And I'm like, if I'm mad, that's my fault. But it's good not to want to say something stupid, but you don't want to be afraid of saying something stupid. You don't want to be afraid of that. He played an interesting AI song for me on the show. Check it out. It was about JLP, Jesse Lee Peterson. And this AI, proof that AI is liberal, this AI said, Jesse Lee Peterson, you're a rebel with a cause, but your cause is empty. What? All you do is stir the pot or fan the flames, something like that, of hatred. But that's not true. That is, who is AI? Is Joe from Arizona? Joe from Phoenix, Arizona, my caller, who is always like criticizing and being a mama, a liberal communist, black conservative. Is Joe from Phoenix, Arizona, an AI bot? An AI, the bots are informed by the liberal media. They don't think like men. They don't think logically. So they accuse a Christian man, brother of Christ, son of God, of pushing what they're pushing, which is hatred. The liberal media, all they push is hatred and division and mess. Joe Biden, all he pushes is hatred and division and emotions and mess. You don't wallow in your emotions and victimhood stuff? Terrible. Victims become perpetrators. Don't you know that? I thought we all knew this. They say people who do bad things to children, whether it's parents who do wrong in front of children or to children, or strangers who do wrong to children, or children who do wrong to one another, that's because they too were quote-unquote victimized. Victims become perpetrators. Don't have that mindset. So AI is liberal and not logical and or smart. It might be quick. It might know a lot, but it also knows a lot of stuff that's not true. As Ronald Reagan said about the liberals, I think. The thing about liberals is they know so much that is just isn't true. Something like that. Reminds me of JLP's biblical question about do you know God? Who is God? We all get on our crazy ideas, and we sometimes will even cite the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's a fact. God is this. But if you're spouting off and holding on to that, you're just in your mind, not living what you're thinking. Know what I mean? Okay. So thank you, Jake Hudson. Appreciate you, man. Let me get to, speaking of victims, this criminal kills. This criminal killed. I got this from WFLA and Big Bump, or this is from it. Criminal justice activist arrested after a, cover your ears, kids and ladies and faint of heart, head was found in a freezer, and he wasn't white. He wasn't Jeffrey Dahmer. Laura Ingle and Sean Noone write about this in WFLA. A few days ago, this came out, News Nation. A criminal justice activist recently appeared on my competitor, not Alex Jones, he wouldn't have fallen for this, Joe Rogan's podcast, was arrested after his severed head was found in his freezer. What? This is all alleged. We don't know. Sheldon Johnson, age 48, was charged with murder, manslaughter, and criminal possession of a weapon, according to the New York Police Department, NYPD. Conducting a wellness check in the victim's apartment, 979 Summit Avenue, around 8:30 p.m., I don't know what day. Police found the man's torso with the legs attached, authorities and sources said. Colin, C-O-L-L-I-N, Small, age 44, pronounced dead at the scene. Because he didn't have his head, right? Sorry, kids, ladies. Sheldon Johnson had become an advocate who is the suspect, allegedly may have done this, right? We don't know. Sheldon Johnson had become an advocate, an activist. Advocacy and activism is sort of a liberal thing, in my mind. Well, it's a liberal thing, but it's also a woman thing. Because they're pouting off and spouting off and trying to get the powerful people, so-called, to listen to them. After his release for a string of armed robberies in 1999. Keep in mind he's 48, so he would have been like 28 some or so. Wait, no. He would have been, I don't know. He would have been 24, 25, something like that, around then. His story of rehabilitation after his release from prison turned him into a criminal justice activist. made multiple public appearances, spoke on the Joe Rogan Experience about his time behind bars. I got into school, got my GED. From there, I got GED is high school graduate certificate, even though you didn't actually finish high school, I guess. Right? So you must have been a dropout. I got involved in correspondence courses, started interacting with guys who were teaching aggression replacement training. Aggression replacement training. So take your aggression out at the gym, working out, or something. Anger management, they call it sometimes. I gather, based on that term. I started beginning to understand how these concepts work, what positive visualization is. Positive visualization. Deep breathing. Conflict resolution. All these ideas change began to take place with me. Queens Defenders, the Queens, New York, right? The public nonprofit public law firm, I mean, where this Sheldon Johnson worked, declined to comment. Expected in court today, Monday. Crazy, huh? And so on Joe Rogan's podcast, I saw this little clip of it. I don't have it for you. But Joe Rogan's like, typical kiss-up white man. Typical kiss-up nice guy. Fake reasonableness. Or reasonability, fake reasonable, false righteousness. This guy, Joe Rogan, my competitor, whom I really like actually, but he's apparently off on this. He might not even be entirely off on this, but he says, there is no talk about, I don't know if he said rehabilitation, but it was along those lines, rehabilitating these guys. When they get out of prison, having a life for them, or whatever. There's no equality of opportunity. Did he say that? I think he said something like that. He doesn't want equality of outcomes, because he had a guest on who was also on the J.C. Lee Peterson show. Jordan B. Peterson, who says equality of outcome is communism. But we certainly have to have equality of opportunity. There's no such thing even as equality of opportunity. Equal opportunity is a communist buzzword, and he fell for it. Because he's an intellectual. He's an atheist, I think. Joe Rogan, whom I really like and have a lot of respect for in some ways, but he's off on this, I'm pretty sure, quite sure. Equality of opportunity, equal opportunity. You know, they have the communist government has equal opportunity employment employment or something, EEOC, whatever. There's no such thing as that. Nobody has the same opportunities, but everybody has opportunities. Right? There's always an opportunity, and you well know, if you're watching, even if you're blind, but look at, spiritually blind and dumb, but look back on your life, you missed opportunities, or you're missing opportunities right now. I'm shaking my head about it. The government is not the answer. It's part of the problem. Because I guess that the government is the idea for equal opportunities. Nor either is, what is that? The non-government, other people. Other people are not going to give you your opportunities that you need. Or guide you in the way that you need to be guided. I saw quote from like some gang members or something about we need programs. we are, it's fun for the young people to steal cars or break into cars. They need programs to give them something to do. How about have a job? As I almost wore a get a job shirt. How about get a job? No, no, that's for the Hispanics or whatever, the Latinos, the immigrants. How about parents, fathers, marrying the mothers or staying with them or something, guiding them, not being a she's the boss, kiss up simps, kiss up to emotions and all that. But no, they just want to blame the government, blame the criminal justice system, blame the private prisons, because they blame private prisons because private prisons make a profit off of heads being in prison. I think because they're in bed with the government. The government is paying out money. That's pretty sick. The governments, I should say, because it's state government, there's federal government, and then there's also local governments, and they all get money, take money. This guy, this black guy who allegedly was found with a head in his freezer, probably of another black dude, he was black. He was in his late 40s, 48 years old, this man who's now arrested again. He is there with his lawyer on this podcast with my competitor, Joe Rogan. And he's talking about, oh, I sold some drugs and this guy owed me money or something like that. And I looked and he didn't have the money for me, but he was there with his girlfriend and he had all this jewelry. And I'm like, that jewelry's mine. That jewelry is mine. And so he and his buddies beat up that guy and took the money and happened to beat up the girl too. And so he spent 25 years in prison for that. I'm sure he did a lot of other things that he wasn't not caught for. And I saw this victim-minded chat in the live chat. OG Ghost over on the Jesse Lee Peterson live chat. When I mentioned this story to Jesse Lee Peterson, the prior show on the JLP network, I mean, the dude did 25 years over some nonsense, so no wonder he was deranged, says OG's Ghost. OG Ghost. OG Ghost says, I only did a few months in jail, and it ruined my life. All over petty nonsense. And I'm white, he said. I do not know or care, for the sake of this story or for the sake of your attitude, you being the general you, anybody's attitude, including OG Ghost, whether the so-called justice system is unjust or not. I joke around, well, I tell people, honestly, chin up kings. I'm jokingly calling them kings. These whites were persecuted in the prisons and jails. The January Sixers, chin up kings. Derek Chauvin, chin up king. Many a man has gone to jail being accused by women, blacks, mainstream media, Democrats, and other evil people of doing evil, and you haven't done quite the evil that they accuse you of doing. But a few months in jail or 25 years in jail should not ruin your life. It might take up a chunk, some years out of your physical life, but it should not ruin it. Being deranged from that, everybody's dealing with injustices. Everybody is doing wrong stuff to each other and to themselves. And that is, that's on you. The stuff that happens to you, the stuff that people do, and people do a lot of evil things to one another. That shouldn't be what breaks up your life and messes you up to the where you're going to allegedly cut off a head or whatever, or have the head in your freezer. That's crazy. Men are supposed to be more resilient than that. Look at Joseph. I was listening to church with Jesse Lee Peterson yesterday. I was in the service. Right there in the other room where we have church. And I believe Rochelle or somebody brought up Joseph, who was put in prison over a false accusation from Potiphar's wife. But what did he do? He thrived. He had a good attitude, allegedly, according to the Bible. And he became the man on top. Like JLP said about Trump, they put him in jail. He'll become king of the, well, not king, president of the jail, of the prison. Doubt he'll go to jail, but. No, you're supposed to have a good attitude. You won't be the same. 25 years, that's life, says David. I'm not sure what you mean. Of course you won't be the same, but you hopefully come back better, not bitter. Maybe you'll be bitter at first because it's like, that's a trip. But hopefully you snap out of it. You snap out of it. Steve C. says they have banned the box on employment applications because so many blacks are getting arrested. Ban the box means you check a box if you had a felony or not. Have you had a felony? You check the box if you say, yes, you had a felony. Something like that. Do you have any felonies? Because some people want the right to discriminate against felons. They don't want to take that risk. Now they want to ban the box because there's many nice felons, supposedly. There's many nice people, and you're not supposed to trust nice people, by the way. Have you know? I would have you know. OG Ghost turned black on the inside. Only did a few months in jail, ruined his life all over petty nonsense. Petty nonsense. And he's white. I'm not even saying, because I don't know, that the stuff that's being done to you guys is just or unjust. Maybe don't commit crimes, as says Big Mitch 909. That's too much to ask of some people, Big Mitch 909. Some people are just going to commit crimes. But as JLP said in church with JLP yesterday, if you're in jail, it's your fault. There is something you didn't see. There was something you didn't see. Whether it's just or unjust that you are in jail, there was something that you were blind to. You couldn't see what you were getting into. We talk about the January Sixers and how it's unjust that they're in there. Because they're being held, like, they're getting disproportionate punishment, or they're being held there without trial, according to reports, I don't know. But still, they walked into that trap. They were caught up in their emotions. They did not have any business doing that, doing some of the stuff that they did. You know, breaking windows, moshing with the police, parading through the Capitol, getting all caught up in the emotions of it and trespassing. When you clearly see this, like, there's some barriers here. You're not supposed to cross the barriers. Well, Black Lives Matter did it and they got away with it. They're, get used to a double standard. The world is evil and unjust. I'm going to tell you about what's going on in the UK in the next hour or so, or later, or earlier, I mean. But get used to the injustice. That's not something to pout about. That's what the world is supposed to be, is unjust and evil. I get that in the older days, maybe it wasn't as bad. I'm pretty sure it's not. I'm pretty sure it was not as bad in the older days. We had innocent and less proven guilty. Men were more reasonable and sane. Women were not worrying their pretty little heads as much. Hake almost stole once. But you're not supposed to be shocked or dismayed or stuck on that thought that it's unjust. Of course it is. Of course it is. That's why I think you guys underappreciate our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, because he keeps a great attitude. I was listening to the JLP, and then I'll get to calls. Hang tight, callers. Hang on. I'll try to do this fast. I was listening to the JLP highlights, Best of the Week, Jesse Lee Peterson show, the Jesse Lee Peterson show on Saturday, because there was there no Anchor Baby on Friday? I forget. I think there was not, right? Something happened. I think, let me see, because I don't want to say bad information. American Anchor Baby. Yeah, I don't think he had a, he did not have a live show. Anchor Baby, he was supposed to have one, but there was some problem with the computer. Okay? Technical issues. And so I listened to the JLP highlights that came out. You can podcast it or catch it on the Jason Lee Peterson YouTube channel. And, man, now I forgot the point that I was going to make about it. Let me look. YouTube.com/JLP Talk. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, best of the week. There was a guy who was very grateful for JLP. Trump, back on the ballot. Oh, yeah! He's talking about, and I don't know if this was this week or this past week or the week before. Trump was talking about how the black people like me because some people say that they've suffered so much discrimination and they think I'm being discriminated against. People think I'm being discriminated against. And he's like smiling. You don't see him down being a victim. People say, oh, Trump is always whining. He is whining consciously. He is whining for Christ. He is whining not with a whining spirit. He is stating the injustices, but you can tell he's not moved by it. At least he does not come off as though he's down about it. I spout off all the time about that, everybody's hating the whites right now, but I don't feel hated, but I know that they do hate the whites. I know that. It's quite obvious. So don't let it affect you. Nice. Or it shouldn't even be something that you feel like you have to not let affect you. If it is, hey, just realize that's insane. Nice. Never let stuff get you down. Yeah. Because like I said, victims become perpetrators and a head could pop up in your freezer and then you're on the hook for something. What a mess. So shout out to that man who's an alleged return criminal. Apparently there's generations of them. His father was the first. He was the second. He's something the second. And there was another guy who was the third. His son was the third. Father was senior. Son is junior. And then grandson is the third. And they all did evil physical, black crime. And the father's black crime, by the way, was a violation of a stepdaughter. So people saying, oh, whites do this to kids. Yes, that's a fact. And every bit as much, if not more so, blacks, Hispanics, who are encouraged in that sexuality mess. Just FYI, if you catch my drift. Ooh. Daniel in Texas is on the line, 888-775-3773, 1-888-77 Jesse, J-E-S-S-E. We're on JLP's network. Daniel in Texas, thank you for calling, man. Thanks for holding, too. What's up?
Well, thank you for having me, James.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I wanted to bring up a woman of history.
Okay.
A very important woman of history is Harriet Beecher Stowe, the author of Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Ah, is she white?
Yes.
I feel like I read Uncle Tom's Cabin back when I was like in fourth grade or fifth grade or something like that. Maybe even second grade.
Harriet
Beecher Stowe. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you remember what it's about?
Nope.
Okay.
I vaguely remember it's about the South, some blacks and maybe some slave owners.
Okay.
I'm not even sure that I really even read the thing. But okay. I remember hearing a little bit about it, the story, back then.
Are you thinking of To Kill a Mockingbird?
Nope. I read To Kill a Mockingbird. That was high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
The plot of Uncle Tom's Cabin is funny because when you call someone an Uncle Tom, like saying Jesse's an Uncle Tom.
Right.
An Uncle Tom is not actually an Uncle Tom.
The character Uncle Tom was a good guy.
The character Uncle Tom is a sympathetic character in that slavery is keeping him down. It's separating him from his family. It's, you know, he gets the aid from white, you know, like a white woman.
Yeah.
And he's not an Uncle Tom in the way that people say Uncle Tom today.
People say Uncle Tom is somebody who's betraying the black, their fellow black Americans, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But the real Uncle Tom is the person that blacks think they are. Blacks think that they're being held down.
Oh.
The man is keeping them down.
Yeah.
That's what the book is about.
And so this Harriet Beecher Stowe woman was anti-slavery, right?
Yeah, she was an abolitionist.
So was she a good abolitionist or an evil one?
Well, according to Abraham Lincoln, she's the reason for the war.
Really?
Yes.
So that's not a good... That sounds like an evil abolitionist, because if you sparked a war... Well, I don't know, that's... You blame the people who are fighting the war, honestly. You shouldn't blame...
Right.
you shouldn't blame a woman who says something that's outrageous.
He said it to her jokingly.
Okay.
He met her. She wrote the book before the war. She wrote the book a decade before the war.
Okay.
And it was a popular book.
Yeah.
It was so popular that it left an impression on many people, and that's what it's about. It's about a slave who is who's wrapped up in the slavery thing,
yeah,
and in a bad way, and so that novel is basically the blueprint of how blacks act today. They act like they're being held down by the man.
Yeah.
And that's who Harriet Beecher Stowe is. And when Abraham Lincoln met her, he jokingly told her, so this is the young lady who's the reason for this war.
Wow. What's interesting is I'm starting to get a different impression of Abraham Lincoln and Harriet Beecher Stowe, too, in that I thought of these people as people who were righteous and good and peace loving, love about peace and love, but there may have been some corrupt political motives. There may have been some ego, false compassion. You know, like emotional compassion, sympathy, empathy, dumb liberal stuff that motivated Harriet Beecher Stowe and Lincoln. I don't know, man. Knowing politicians today and how phony they are, I'm starting to ponder how they are today versus how they were then. Were they the phony politicians that we see today back then.
Yes. Yes, and they called each other slimes, and they would beat each other. They would beat each other up.
Wow.
You know, there's the caning of Sumner.
Yeah.
Politics was always messy and nasty. There was all sorts of slander. There was all sorts of, allegations of, sexual misconduct. And,
wow.
All that stuff was going on at the time.
Yeah.
It's just, in high school, when they're learning this stuff, they're not going to really talk about that.
Right.
But there are a lot of things that are very similar to what had happened in the past.
Wow. So they were evil even back then. And now we have, as a result of that, is that why they've instituted some rules of how you speak to one another and stuff like that? You don't demean their character.
All that.
Is it from that?
Was allowing women into politics,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it became more mama. Oh, on the outside, you keep a nice demeanor, but on the inside, they're corrupt as ever.
Yeah, right. And Harriet Beecher Stowe is a great example of that, because she wrote this novel about something that was very contentious in the country, about slavery.
Yeah.
And she wrote it from an abolitionist point of view.
Yep.
And it became a very popular book. So, a lot of the...
In her lifetime, it became popular. That's interesting for me to think about.
Yeah, it became popular in her lifetime, but she basically played she wrote about the most contentious issue in the United States, and the most contentious issue was over slavery.
Yeah.
And this denial of the Civil War isn't about slavery. It's denial. You're denying, just face the fact that that is what was going on at the country at the time.
That was the issue.
That was the premier issue. Just face it.
Yeah.
Just stand and face the fact.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, that's I just wanted to bring her up, because Uncle Tom is you have the movies Uncle Tom. You have Uncle Tom 1 and 2.
Right.
You have Jesse has a mug, Tom like a mug. And
yeah.
So I just wanted to share that all stems from Harriet Beecher Stowe in the 1850s writing a novel about slavery. And the Uncle Tom in the book is not the Uncle Tom that people ascribe today.
In short, in like a sentence or less, what did he do? Was he hiding slaves, like protecting them? What did he do?
He was beaten down. He was trying to be a good Christian man, and he was sold away from his family. And he, I don't know the end result of the book, but basically, slavery is antagonizing him. He's trying to be a good person,
yeah.
But he's not allowed. He's not allowed to practice being a Christian. He's not allowed to. His masters are preventing him from being a good Christian. That's what the story's about.
Wow. Interesting.
But that's not the character that people are ascribing today. People are saying that if you're a yes man,
right,
then you're an Uncle Tom. But that's not what Uncle Tom was.
Yeah, you're basically, well, they call that to, they say that to somebody who's really, I don't know anybody evil whom they called that. They say that if you're like a decent Christian, independent thinking black, then they call you that.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Yeah. So I guess from the book's point of view, it's a message of slavery. It's an anti-slavery book.
Yeah. Because it was showing the injustice and how it was showing the slave masters as villains and the slaves as these dignified victims.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why people say, oh, Robert E. Lee separated slaves from families. Robert E. Lee didn't separate slaves from families. Harriet Beecher Stowe novel is about separating slaves from families, but it's a fictional novel.
Oh, okay. Did she have any firsthand knowledge of it, or why was she so into this?
She was a Northerner. She was an abolitionist. She had sympathies for what she perceived to be a cruel institution.
So she,
and
if she was a Northerner, does that mean she didn't have no, she had no firsthand knowledge of it?
She wouldn't be a a Southern slave owner. She wouldn't have been in that life. She would have lived in a life that was more akin to how we live today.
Yeah. Because in the North, they didn't rely on slavery, so like she didn't see, and she's a woman, she didn't have to concern herself with life in the South. So I wonder whether she understood what she was criticizing.
Well, I doubt it simply by the nature of her being a woman.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that the abolitionist argument was that slavery is a liability because once you have a slave revolt, the nation is destroyed.
Yeah, that's true. Because the slaves are becoming numerous. It's kind of like the problem that Pharaoh had. Pharaoh in the Bible had a problem with all of these Hebrews, or whatever they were. And so he put them into slavery. But even then, they became a problem. Partly because they had God on their side, but according to the story. Huh. Meddling busybody women.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's unfair to Harriet Beecher Stowe, but it sounds like you agree with me. And you know more than I do about her.
Well, you know, I mean, we have our opinions.
Yeah, true.
but you know, I wanted to bring her up to you because I know that Uncle Tom is you know, your network has those two films, and Jesse is constantly being referenced as an Uncle Tom.
Right.
And I wanted to bring her up because she's the author of that book.
Nice.
And I wanted to bring up what that book is actually about.
You know, Friday was supposedly Women's International Women's Day, and I didn't even know it. I learned that from my Facebook crew, I think. And it's so-called Women's History Month. Ridiculous. So I thank you for your contribution for Women's History Month. Wow. Go ahead.
I do want to say about the institution of slavery and how it was referred to even by Southerners.
Okay.
That even in common diction, the Southerners called it the peculiar institution. So they were aware of peculiarities with the institution of slavery.
But what did peculiar mean back then? Because peculiar means strange to us, right? Strange, weird.
It means strange, and it means the same thing back then.
Okay.
But I think the nature of why it's called peculiar is simply because it has to do with different races living with each other, and that's what's peculiar.
Okay, yeah, true. Because most of the time, well, like in England, I don't know if they had many blacks and slave blacks in there. Most of the slaves in America were black, and most of the slave owners were white. And they had, I think even at that point, the culture of the blacks and the culture of the whites was different. Because although they interacted and one was subjugated by the other, they still seemed, correct me if I'm wrong, different in their ways of being.
Yes.
And that was a reason for, in part, the other part being obvious devil suspicion and fighting between the two different groups for segregation.
Yes.
Like segregation was a sounded like a logical next step.
Yeah.
Like that's the best way that they could think of to deal with it. I had a caller who called it racist. I mean, slavery was a racist institution. I'm like, how? Doesn't even make sense. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, you would have to accept that racism exists, and you know, in order to have that back and forth. And if you can't accept that racism exists, and I don't buy into it. I don't buy into racism existing. I think it's just on its face an excuse for bad behavior.
What do you mean by that?
They're saying racism, you know, oh, it's racist because you won't let me do this because of my skin color.
Oh,
I think it's an excuse for bad behavior.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff, the statements that they made historically about blacks, I remember hearing of different figures writing about black, the Negroes, as they called them back then, or whatever, that they had a lower mental function for the most part, or they were just, they're different. And they had a different culture. They had a different way of being, different capabilities. And that's just observing reality as they saw it.
Yes. There were people who dispelled beliefs about blacks and performance that, you know, I guess the obvious example is when there were color troops in the Union Army. It would have been one of the first examples of blacks showing their level of competency. And some black regiments did very poorly.
Yeah.
Many of them did. But some of them did outstandingly. Some of them really accomplished things that just dispelled a lot of the criticisms. But as a whole, they just had to take them for how they performed. So
yeah, right.
I think it's more important to do that than it is to latch on to race.
It's more important to
monitor the performance.
Right.
To be aware of their performance and
yep.
treat them as how their performance is.
Right.
In contrast to just saying, blacks just simply can't get it together, and we are going to have to form a peculiar institution.
Yeah.
I think that if that worked, it would be in place today.
True. You're right. Well, yeah. People are always going to be imperfect, and do stuff badly, even when they're doing something that they have a right to do. Look at, we used to have a freer country in the, whether you're talking about the freedom to own slaves or the freedom to own your property without paying taxes on the property that you own, or the freedom of speech. All these things are going away, and a lot of it is because we did stuff imperfectly, you know, or somebody did something. Some people did something. And now there's the government is you've given the government or whoever an excuse to change things into something worse, because they got rid of slavery and now we have other evil things. So they've replaced it with something also evil, maybe even worse.
Do you think life back then had more freedom than our life today?
In some ways, I think they did. In that they could carry awesome guns, probably. They could say stuff more freely. They did say stuff more freely. At least the whites did.
Uh-huh. Because I know it's kind of dumb to compare what, you know, how we live today to how we live back then. But
yeah.
For example, owning cool guns, people weren't, they didn't own cannons, right? They may have had muskets.
Yeah.
You know, they may have had smoothbore muskets.
Right.
But you know, there were still military grade things that they wouldn't have had access to.
And that's because more of finance and the ease of getting stuff in the world. Nowadays, we're much more rich and spoiled. Is that true? Is that fair?
Maybe. I think in many ways we are softer
yeah.
than they were back then. But I don't know if if there were more freedoms back then, because back then, you know, if when you're drafted to go to war, there's a very high probability that you're going to die of disease before you even see a battlefield, let alone win it.
Yeah. Life was definitely tougher back then. Interesting, man. Well, I appreciate your call.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Daniel in Texas. Take care.
Bye.
Mead in Virginia is on the line. Mead, thank you for calling, man. What's up?
Hi, it's good. It's good to speak to you again. I just want to talk about a few things. The last caller, Daniel, always rubs me the wrong way. Sorry.
I know you're a. That's because you are a fellow Southerner, as Daniel's a Southerner.
Well, no, he's not a Southerner. He's from Texas.
Right. Texas is somewhat the South, but it's not quite the full-blown real South.
That's right.
And he's not a Confederate sympathizer like you are.
Well, I wouldn't say a sympathizer, but I'm definitely pro-Confederate. And his statement about slavery being the most contentious issue, total lie.
Oh, back
then?
It's
not true. Yeah, that was not true.
What was?
The issue back then was fighting over the Western territories. Who would control the Western territories? Now, the reason slavery came up was, are you allowed to transport your slaves to another state? So it was a question of that was a question. It wasn't a question of slavery. And
that touches on slavery itself. You just mentioned slavery and your concern about the Western territory.
But that wasn't the main issue. That was tied to that, but it was really about economics and control. And the new Republican Party back then, who were really communists in a sense, that they wanted power and control over the Western territories, and they wanted free white labor. They didn't want slaves there. But slavery was not a moral issue. It was not a moral question. It was all economics.
Okay.
So that's why that came up. And Harriet Beecher Stowe's novel is pure liberal propaganda. Pure liberal propaganda.
It sounds like he somewhat agreed with you about it being sort of liberal propaganda.
Well, yeah, a little bit. But
what do you mean by free white labor? What do you mean by that? The communists wanted whites who were free, not slaves, to be...
Yeah, the so-called... Huh?
The communists wanted the whites to go work in the Western territories?
Well, in a sense, essentially, they just wanted free white labor. The so-called abolitionists wanted... They saw the blacks as subhuman, and they really wanted to get them out of the country.
Okay.
But that's not why I called. I really called to tell you
Before you get into what you really did call about, because this is interesting to me. First you talked about it wasn't about slavery. It was about slavery in the Western territories. So it was about slavery. And think about it. Slavery, these personal topics like abortion. Mm-hmm. You could say abortion is a economic issue, because there's a whole lot of money being thrown around by the evil government and all that stuff regarding abortion. Yeah. And so for these people, it's not a moral issue. Not that I'm saying slavery is as bad as abortion. Of course, I'm not. Slavery is not nearly as bad as abortion, but in my opinion. But it is an emotional topic, and emotional topics get people more emotional. A lot of people aren't moving to the out west. Some people, a lot of people were back then, but what you're telling me is contradictory to like human nature. Human nature will use emotional fake morality to fight. So I don't know if you're. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that you guys are kind of both right. You and it sounds like, based on Daniel in Texas's story and your story.
Well, I'm not saying he's completely wrong, but the narrative he's spinning is that's the northern narrative that's always used. Like you talk about the colored troops, they had black Confederates, and they also had blacks in the Confederacy.
Right,
but also the slave state of New Jersey why did, okay, if it was really, 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 really about slavery, why did you have a slave state in New Jersey in the Union and the slaves were not freed till 1866? They didn't join the Confederacy because slavery was not on the ballot in 1860. What was on the ballot was economics and this new Republican Party, which, you know, the liberals are partially correct when they say that the parties changed because they did. We can deny it all we want, but the Republicans of 1860 are not the Republicans today.
Right.
They were very different. And did you know that it was Republicans that started the income tax? It was Republicans that put in the horrible 14th Amendment, which
was
the
income
Trump.
Tax. Was income tax? Are you talking about Lincoln doing the income tax during the war?
I believe it came after the war, but it was still Republicans that did that.
Okay.
Democrats fought against it. It was
yeah.
Democrats, the very conservative wing. So when people, like a lot of these so-called
And what else did they do? They did, you said the income tax and they did something else, but...
The 14th Amendment.
Oh, yeah, the evil 14th Amendment.
Terrible, terrible. But,
So what was terrible about the 14th Amendment? It was letting blacks be citizens and vote?
Not that. It was, if you're natural born, being born in this country means you get full citizenship. Well,
yeah.
That's why we have all these illegal aliens today. Like, even back then, you could just come to the country if you're born there, you know, you're American. And also, if you were in the Confederacy.
That's not how they meant it, according to them.
well, yeah, but.
But that's how it's used. Whatever the case, that's how it's used.
If you were in the Confederacy, you could never run for office again.
Right, because you're an insurrectionist, so-called.
Look at what Democrats are doing today. They're doing that same thing that Republicans did then.
Yeah.
But here's another thing about Republicans that people don't know, is that during Reconstruction, which was completely evil, Republicans were stuffing ballots. Republicans were intimidating people to vote Republican. They were harassing people. They were doing everything that Democrats do today is what Republicans were doing then.
Now, it's so interesting that you say that because it reminds me of what they claimed that the KKK was doing, because they said that the KKK was founded during Reconstruction to oppose the carpetbaggers and blacks who were getting into office. A lot of illiterate blacks were getting into office because of this stuff.
With
this Reconstruction stuff, and they were with the Republicans, and they were not in the best interests of the Southern whites who wanted to run their own stuff the way that they wanted to run it. So they say that the KKK was intimidating voters, voter intimidation. So you're telling me that it was the Republicans and not the KKK, or are you saying did the KKK do it too?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm not saying I support the KKK, but they were
both sides were doing some intimidation and being devils fighting.
Yes, but it was only after the Republicans kind of started it. But even in 1873, the Republicans were still stuffing ballots and rigging elections in 1873.
I feel like I have to disavow this for the sake of my channel. You're talking about rigging elections, man.
Oh, okay.
And,
cool.
And I know that you're talking about 150 years ago or more, but I feel like I have to disavow this.
Oh, okay.
YouTube and all these people have me so traumatized. But so this is the claim that you're making. Do you have any, where do you get this information?
Yeah, because I read all about Reconstruction and what Republicans did during Reconstruction. So I would like these so-called conservatives, when they keep saying we're the party of Lincoln, to actually read the history of what Republicans did and how they were not conservatives in their origin. They were completely anti-conservative. In fact, they were called the Radical Republicans because they violated the Constitution. They did all kinds of things that were not good for the South and the country, but it's just that Daniel in Texas seems to be stuck on the party, like he's so obsessed with being Republican. And
I don't think of Daniel in Texas as at all being obsessed with being Republican. Where do you pick that up?
Well, he's going with the narrative, like the narrative.
But
about
he's
Lincoln.
read. He's read. history books. I don't really hear
history
him.
Books that were written by Northerners.
No, I mean he's read like letters themselves. I'm not even. Read the letters of like. Have you heard him talking about these Confederate generals and the writings that they wrote?
Yes, and I've read them too, and I know Lincoln said.
So you're
accusing
him of something that's not entirely. You're pretending that he's one-sided. I don't see him as one-sided.
Only in the sense that he's giving the narrative about slavery being the cause of the so-called Civil War, when it really wasn't. It really wasn't. He's using that as for all his talking points. He sounds more like a leftist to me, because that's what the leftists say.
But you sound like you have taken a side on this more so than he has taken a side on it.
No, because he's
You seem more passionate about it. He seems more dispassionate about it, and he doesn't seem communist type of dispassionate. He seems to just be saying.
I'm not saying he's a communist.
No, I'm not saying that you are saying that. I'm just saying that this Daniel in Texas comes off as somebody who's just trying to pass along knowledge that he's come across, and he does seem pretty into that knowledge, but he doesn't seem to have an agenda behind it. He does not. Mm-hmm. He has not picked a side. He's fair to all sides as best as he can. But whereas you seem to be more, like you said, you're put off by his calls, like he triggers you. And so watch your emotions about this whole thing.
Yeah, I know, you're right. I'm being female-minded, but yeah. It's only in the sense, I'm not saying he's necessarily picking a side, it's just that his talking points are the mainstream. Like, that's the northern version.
Right.
Like, he's only giving the northern version. So that's what I'm hearing. We all know, like, here at Beecher Stowe, I know what Lincoln said to her. I know he said, oh, you know, your book started the war.
Right.
That's the talking point of all the northern historians. They love that. And
yeah.
I know he meant it jokingly.
Right.
But this is just to my point, is that it just seems like his even though he's trying to be neutral, he's using the northern version of all the events. Like, it's colored through that lens instead of, like, okay, because, you know, the truth, it's and, you know, the war is so complicated, and I used to think, you know, even if it was about slavery, I believe in property rights.
Me too.
But then I discovered, no, you know what? It really wasn't about slavery. The more I read about the war, the more I realized how much we've been lied to. And actually, I believe the war was funded by Freemasons. I believe Freemasons on both sides had a role in it.
Well, that's how it goes. The people with the money and the power, or at least around the world, wherever you are, they're going to... people with money are going to fund both sides of the war, and it'll be devils fighting, for sure.
Yeah. Well, just to wrap up my point, I know, like, we don't have much time. I get really annoyed, too, when people against abortion always go to the slavery argument, because to me, you've already lost the argument. That's a straw man, and you'll never convince liberals, because I know liberals, you know, they always whine about slavery all the time.
Yeah,
but you're never going to convince them that that's totally dumb to do that. And it's you know, and it doesn't even make sense, and I'll tell you why. Because slaves, to have a slave, you had to take care of them. You had to give them food and clothing and shelter.
Right.
And there, in fact, and this is what I read too, is that some work was considered too dangerous for slaves. They wouldn't allow slaves to do dangerous work because they were so valuable.
Yep.
So they had Irish immigrants do it.
Wow. Interesting.
So this argument that
let me ask you before you get into your what you really called about.
Uh-huh.
Why are you so into this?
Oh, well, because I live in Richmond, Virginia, which is the capital of Confederacy. My ancestors have been here since the 1600s. They were all in the Confederacy. I'm proud of my heritage. I'm with a heritage group called the Virginia Flaggers. We try to our best to protect our memorials and monuments, and we just want to be left alone. We want people, you know, we don't want people to do that. So that's why I have a passion for it. And also, I've seen Gone with the Wind about 32 times, and so that's sort of where I get my passion for that subject.
Right. Well, watch yourself, man, because it's not normal to be this caught up into it. Daniel in Texas is your Christian American brother, and we want to be united, and you don't have to get caught up in this stuff. It doesn't it doesn't even matter. I get you that a whole lot of lies have come in, but with your emotions, you're liable. First of all, you're swallowing the biggest lie, which is anger. And second of all, with that anger, you're going to swallow up other lies and repeat them, and you're going to fight over stuff that doesn't even matter.
Well, you're right about that, and you have to have forgiveness, too. You have to forgive your enemies.
So let's hear about your real topic, man. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Well, just to keep it, I'll try to keep it short as possible. Okay. I'll say that Trump came to my city, and for the first time ever, I got to go to a Trump rally, and our mayor, who is black, made a big to-do about it and said, he's not welcome in our city. Well, we had about 3,000 people show up and only about 4 counter-protesters. So, and I waited 4.5 hours in line to get in. I only missed about 10 minutes of his speech, but I was so blessed to get in because I heard people say they tried to get in 3 or 4 times and they never can get in.
Wow.
So, yeah, and it was just such an amazing, like, if you've never been to a Trump rally, it's just like another worldly experience. You know, it's like the most positive experience you can ever have is at a Trump rally. And I also wanted to make one more point about white liberals. Because, okay, so this is why I'm not a white nationalist, is because white liberals are the worst enemy of white people. And if we went along with, oh, we just want a white-only country, or white, you know. Well, I believe in a white majority, but you know, white nationalism does not work because white liberals will always work against our interests. And when I was walking around the city, I live in a majority black city. Black people leave me alone. Black people don't bother me about Trump stuff, but the people that did bother me were white liberals.
Were they normal white? Could you tell that they were normal Christian white American stock?
Well, I don't think they're
Anglos?
I'm sure they weren't Christian, but they were definitely white and liberals. And if I'm wearing like my Trump stuff or conservative stuff and I'm around white people, I actually feel less safe than if I'm around the black people, because the blacks don't bother me at all. In fact, they just don't care. And I've rarely had any black people say anything bad to me, but the white liberals are the problem. That they're the ones that work against us. So people that push white nationalism, they're living in a dream, thinking that we could have a ideal life if we have all these white liberals who are just going to ruin everything.
Now,
so that was what
that's fair. It depends on the white and it depends on the liberal, because although you haven't had problems with blacks, black on white attacks are more common than the other way around. Anyway, I get that there's going to be a lot of maybe Antifa types and blind activists, but when you take the voting block, the majority of whites are quote unquote conservative. The majority of whites, normal whites, non-Hispanic whites, even when you include the Jews among them, and Italians and Irish, they are majority conservative. There's no other race where it's majority conservative. The majority of every other race is liberal.
Okay, well, I'm not sure. Okay, I guess so. I don't know.
According to what I've heard from voting patterns and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to share that with you. I just want to share my experience.
You're right in that nobody's ever going to get along.
Yeah.
And that's not a reason to accept all this diversity stuff. I'm not saying that. And I don't think that you're saying that either. You want white majority.
No, I'm not like pro-diversity. I'm just,
of course not. Yeah.
I'm just saying that I'm not a white nationalist because I don't think that
that's
is
not the whole answer. That's not the root.
Right. And in my, when I'm close to your age, when I grew up in my area, it was just white and black people. And like, I was a teenager in the 90s, and we didn't have any of this, like, racial stuff. Like, it was,
right.
It wasn't a problem until later. And so I just, you know, I think they're trying to cause a race war or something. I just want to share that because overall, I've had more problems with, you know, white liberals than
blacks. you run into more whites probably than blacks. And,
well,
depends on where you are.
Yeah, well, in my city, I mean, my city's majority black.
Oh, but, really? Okay.
Yeah, in Richmond, yeah, we're definitely, I mean, we're a black city.
Yeah.
And we have a black mayor. And I'm not saying that I would get along necessarily with black liberals, but I say this all the time. I have more in common with a conservative black Christian family than I would white liberals.
Yeah, but the conservative black Christian family is, like, pretty rare compared to...
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Compared to your average black.
Yeah, I think you're
although
right,
a lot
that.
Of them are... nice, mm-hmm. They're polite, civilized, even when they're dumb liberals. So, I gotcha.
Okay.
Now, about this Trump rally, you said it was so positive and great, such a great feeling.
Did it what?
You said that it was so positive, you never experienced such a great feeling or whatever?
Yeah, it just, like, the whole, like, everybody there is... It's just a great feeling. Trump has so much energy, you know.
I know.
And I don't know how he does it because he was in North Carolina, and he went, you know, same day he just drove over to Richmond from North Carolina. He's way out in western North Carolina, which is 200 miles away.
Yeah.
And then he did like an hour and 40 minutes, and he never got tired or anything. But just the whole experience, like for me, was that made my day. I mean, it just was a great. Positive. So I encourage anyone, if you can get to a Trump rally, if any qualms about it, I would just go and just try to get in because it's really once in a lifetime thing. I mean, it's just good for the soul.
That doesn't sound right though, man. Doesn't sound right that I get that he's like a light in the world,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want to. You don't want to be into emotions like that.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's all emotional. I'm just saying that it's good to be around people that don't hate you.
That's when you're for around, sure. Yeah.
When you're around liberals, like where I live in a very liberal city.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, we have conservatives, but when I go around like-minded people, you feel energized. You feel renewed. You feel like
so. It's like going to church.
Yeah, it's like church, but I'm not, you know, comparing it to like anything like spiritual. But I'm just saying it's something.
Well, you said it's good for the soul, and it's like-minded people. They must be Christians.
I would say majority of
and
the
Trump is a Christian.
Yes, he is a Christian.
But you just don't want to. You don't want to idolize the man. You don't want to just rely on these. Positive feelings and call that good for the soul. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you, and maybe that's the wrong choice words. But
it's just something to check yourself on, man.
Okay.
I don't think it was the wrong choice of words. I think you meant it how you said it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking my call. And
yeah,
you
of
have
course.
A blessed day. Have
nice
blessed
to hear
day.
From you. You as well. All right.
Bye bye.
Bye. Man, callers, I'm gonna get to you. Some of you have dropped off there. You can call in 1-888-775-3773. Before I get back to calls, though, real quick, I'm skipping the break. Trump loves despots. Despots. I'm shaking my head. Former advisors, this is from Commie Nonsense Network. I promised I would get to this. And if I don't, I won't. Former advisors, sound the alarm. That Trump praises despots. I think it's pronounced despots. In private and on the campaign trail. And these phony advisors are, of course, the usual suspects, if you will, of who you've come to expect. These guys who look sort of manly, but are not. They're lame liberals. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, Jim Sciutto. Sciutto, S-C-I-U-T-T-O. He wrote some book, and he wrote this article promoting his book to Donald Trump, Hungarian strongman Viktor Orban, who spoke at a CPAC or something. Viktor Orban, who was interviewed by my competitor, Tucker Carlson, is fantastic, quote-unquote, according to Trump. Chinese leader Xi Jinping, brilliant. North Korea's Kim Jong-un, an okay guy. And most alarmingly, he allegedly said Adolf Hitler did some good things, which should be kind of an uncontroversial statement, because everybody does some quote-unquote good things. A worldview that would reverse decades-old U.S. foreign policy in a second term should he win November's presidential election, this guy says, without evidence, pure speculation. He thought Putin was an okay guy and Kim was an okay guy, that we had pushed North Korea into a corner, said retired General John Kelly. I have a few pictures in the folder there, Hassan, under Trump dictators, something like that. Trump despots. Trump loves dictators. Somebody has to love them. Trump loves everybody. John Kelly is the guy who's running his mouth about this. Jim Sciutto. John Kelly turned out to be a liberal, a lame guy. He was the chief of staff, Trump's chief of staff. A traitor. To him, it was like we were goading these guys. And that's a fact. The U.S. foreign policy is to goad Putin, to goad Kim Jong-un, to talk all tough about Xi Jinping, as if we're so tough. Trump's lavish praise for Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. What's Viktor Orban doing that's so bad? What is he doing that's so bad? The strong man, they call him. They don't like strong men? Apparently not. They don't like Trump. They don't like Viktor Orban. They don't like strength. I get that strong man is supposed to be like, oh, you rule with an iron fist. And you don't give anybody else the say. Well, they don't give us the say. They don't even want us to be able to vote for our greatest president, Trump, in the election. These people are despots. Women are every bit as despotic, and liberals are every bit as despotic as anybody. By the way, Jewel Friday is going to be coming up soon in 35 minutes or so. And I will get back to calls. Facing Your Deepest, Darkest Secrets, Jewel Friday TV, okay? So check him out. He's on the JLP Radio Network. American Anchor Baby will be live after him. But look at these former advisors turning on our greatest president, Trump. Trump spoke at Mar-a-Lago Friday praising Viktor Orban. There's nobody that's better, smarter, or a better leader than Viktor Orban. He's the boss, and he's a great leader, fantastic leader. In Europe and around the world, they respect him. Right on. John Bolton, another guy. John Bolton. The national security something or other. People did not like that Trump appointed John Bolton. You know, the peace-loving people. He views himself as a big guy. He likes dealing with other big guys and big bot guys like Erdogan in Turkey, who's like a tough guy. Or maybe too tough sometimes, right? I don't know. To get to put people in jail and you don't have to ask anybody's permission. He kind of likes that. He's not a tough guy by any means, but in fact, quite the opposite, says John Kelly, the phony guy. But that's how he envisions himself. Trump allegedly reserved some of his most unnerving praise for Hitler, who led Nazi Germany during World War II. Well, but Hitler did some great things. Well, what? Said John Kelly, recounting to Jim Sciuto. Well, he rebuilt the economy. But what did he do with that rebuilt economy, asked this John Kelly guy. He turned it against his own people and against the world, so claims this John Kelly guy. Sir, you can never say anything good about the guy. Nothing, says John Kelly. Talk about conditioned, huh? Talk about not having a think outside the box type of thing like Trump. Trump thinks outside the box. He's an independent thinker. These guys do not. I mean, Mussolini was a great guy in comparison. It's pretty hard to believe, and we don't even know if this is even true, what Trump is alleged to have said, because John Kelly, maybe not the most honest man. Jump down to alleged praise for Hitler. It's pretty hard to believe that he missed the Holocaust, though, and pretty hard to understand how he missed the 400,000 American GIs that were killed in the European theater. He didn't miss that. He's just making a different point. You don't have to make the same point that everybody knows or thinks that they know when you're making another point about something else. But John Kelly is not an independent thinker. And he's also a snake in the grass. This is interesting. Trump also expressed admiration for Hitler's hold on senior Nazi officers. Trump lamented that Hitler, as Kelly recounted, supposedly, this John Kelly guy, maintained his senior staff's loyalty, while Trump himself did not. Loyalty. He would ask about the loyalty issues and how, when I pointed out to him when German generals as a group were not loyal to Hitler, and in fact tried to assassinate him a few times, he didn't know that, according to John Kelly. He truly believed when he brought us generals in that we would be loyal, that we would do anything he wanted us to do, said John Kelly about Trump. And John Kelly had no intention of being loyal, and so he's not being loyal right now. Isn't that interesting? Pretty interesting. There's pictures of him with Kim Jong-un. Because Trump is a man of peace. And he knows that you got to get along with people, including evil people. That's why he got along with Democrats. He got along with the rhinos. He got along with Kim Jong-un. He got along with Xi Jinping. He got along with Putin. There's another picture of him with Putin. Doesn't he just look like a man? Because he is a man. Trump there, sitting next to Putin. Putin all smiling. What a great smile. They're all worried that he's going to pull us out of NATO. NATO would be in real jeopardy, said John Bolton. I think he would try to get out. Would that be so bad? NATO is pushing globo homo false values on the rest of the world. So right on, President Trump, an independent thinker who can see the good in anybody. unlike these evil people, phonies, backstabbers, no loyalty. Right on. So there's your, the CNN's trying to scare you. William in California is on the line. William, I didn't get to you on Friday. I'm glad you were able to call and hold today, man. What's up?
Oh, how was your weekend, James?
It was nice. Thank you. Got some sunshine.
Right on.
I went on Jake Hudson's podcast, which was cool.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
If there's any noise, I'm out at the ranch. I'm getting a... they got them. They're digging up the well, and I'll put another one in.
You seem a little distracted. It's understandable.
Yeah. Some farm animals out.
Oh,
big crane out here. They're drilling for a well. You know what that kind of work that is?
That's some serious manly work.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't. I'm paying for it, so I just want to see what's done.
Okay. Nice. Right on.
Hey, man. I was telling you about his dad was a Panther. He said you were on point. I'm going to not cover everything on it, you were absolutely right. It was phony.
What was phony?
It was, he said his dad was in it. Party.
You're talking about the black. You're cutting in and out, William. Whose dad was in? I think you're talking about a black guy.
It's a friend of yours.
Who was in the? Yeah. His dad was in the Black Panther Party. Black Panthers.
And he disavows the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And the reason why is because when it came down to it, he lost his father because most of the Panthers bolted from France, Cuba, North Korea.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It comes down to if your revolution is so all that, you're running from your families and leaving your families with single-parent homes. And he did not like that. He said, as for the statement that you said it was phony, I'm going to give you a little information. Your callers, the last two callers, Daniel in Texas, shout out to him. Shout out to both of them.
Yeah.
I can hear both of them's argument.
Meade in Virginia? Yeah.
Yeah, yes, yes. James, it is phony.
What's phony? The Black Panther stuff?
Panther thing. Yeah. Yes, it is. Because it's identical. I'm going to tell you, the epicenter was San Francisco and Oakland. It started with a guy named... His last name was Matthew. He got killed in Hunters Point. Shot by a cop. The part that they didn't tell anybody, well, they knew it, but they didn't want to, push it too much. They just wanted to make him a...
I've heard that Panthers have been kind of cop killers, allegedly, or some of them convictedly, I think.
Go ahead, James. Go ahead.
I heard that Black Panthers, some of them associated with something like that, killed cops, allegedly, or convictedly. Man, your phone is really coming in and out, man.
His name.
William in California, I'm going to put you on hold and get back to you when you can get to a better place. Hang on, sir, if we can get your phone straightened out. Because I really want to get that information that you have there, but we may have to do it another time if you can't get it figured out. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. William has some interesting history that he remembers and some friends with interesting history. Let me get to... Oh, there was a caller that wanted to ask why I was supporting Trump. But he's not... He just dropped off. Ooh, that was an interesting call. Call back, man! If you can. Both of you guys. I want to get to all of your calls. Appreciate that. Okay. Let's see. I want to get to... Speaking of a lack of love, in contrast with our greatest president, Trump... who loves even the despots. He even loves the liberals. He loves even, like, the gays and the transgenders and the women. I don't know if he loves the women. Does he love the women? He cherishes them. Trump loves everybody, for the most part. Bibi, not so. He was caught making remarks about, Bibi. Biden, not so. Biden was caught making remarks about Bibi Netanyahu on Hot Mic. Don't repeat this. Expressing frustration about Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Bibi Netanyahu. I have a picture of Bibi Netanyahu, I think. I don't know if I put that in the folder, actually. No, I didn't. Ah. That's okay. That's okay. But Biden was... I probably do have it. Let's see. In the news folder... Yeah, one. Two. There's a couple of pictures of Biden and Bibi. It might be tricky to find them, though, Hassan, in the news folder. Biden, just like evil Obama, did not know how to get along with... people with whom he disagreed. Because he's like a mama spirit. He's a liberal. Liberals do not know how to get along with conservatives. They can't stand you. You notice that, right? You notice it? They are bigoted because they're women at heart in spirit. Not the good kind of women. Not the decent, God-fearing women. Some of them are. but they don't know how to go. And Bibi Netanyahu, I don't even think of him as conservative. I just think of him as a man. Doesn't that look like a man? You guys are like, oh, Bibi's evil. Well, maybe he is. I don't know. I don't pay that much attention. I just like Bibi because Bibi is hated by Obama, which is not a good reason. And then he got along with Trump. And then he kissed up to Biden when he thought that Biden was going to come back into office, which it was proven to be right. Correct. Netanyahu's the prime minister of Israel. And Netanyahu's going hard against the Palestinians, the Hamas people. And they say that they're doing an ethnic cleansing. They being, you know, other hosts and people who know what they're talking about generally, I think. They're doing an ethnic cleansing, meaning they're pushing all the Palestinians for the most part, making it uninhabitable so they can take over that area and not have these problems. Because these are problem people to this guy. To him, they are a problem. Oh, you're a problem. I'm going to make you go away. And many of them are getting killed. It's terrible. It sounds terrible. I suppose I disavow that, you know? It's not right, I guess. But Biden doesn't care about innocent people. He does not care about lives. He cares about politics, and it's not good for politics for America to be sending all this weapons and money to Israel. And I'm not even sure that, I don't really think that I support sending all that money to Israel. Let them take care of themselves. They can take care of themselves quite capably, right? We don't have to support them financially and on that stuff, I guess. Because look at all these phony people who are all eager to bipartisan, almost always, if not always, means evil. That means the devils are agreeing with the people who are pretending to be for what's right, right? The full-blown Satan-embracing liberals and the fake Christian-embracing conservatives, so-called, or Republicans, are bipartisan for something. I don't trust it. I don't trust it. And you see all this bipartisan support for Israel and Ukraine and stuff. I'm not for Israel like that. I'm for Israel being run by a based strong man like Bibi. Anyway, he was raised in America, by the way. I think. So anyway, I find it interesting. Trump knows how to get along with everybody. These people don't know how to get along with anybody. And it's a mess. It's a mess. Kilo Alpha Tango says, Netanyahu referenced the United States as a golden calf to be slaughtered again and again and again, meaning using the United States for money. Yep, and that's what they're doing. I'm laughing. Because everybody's taking advantage of America. Under Trump, we're taking advantage of less. A little bit, yes, still, which is not good, but less. Hey, stop, you're so crazy. Yeah, I should stop. No love in Biden, love in Trump. Choose love. Choose love. All right. Let me get back to William in California. William, are you there?
So sorry about that, James.
No worries. I'm glad you were able to get it fixed.
Hey, it's I'm up in the wine country, so it's kind of rural. So
right on.
So what I was trying to do is tell you that you were on point more than I was. I'm going to explain. It was a kid named Matthew Johnson. It's identical to the George Floyd, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin instigating that Black Lives Matter. The Black Panthers were kicked off because of this 17-year-old kid. You look it up. 17-year-old kid in Hunters Point Projects was shot and killed by a police officer. The police officer felt terrible about it, but he told him to stop running.
Yeah.
He was running, but the thing is they don't want to tell you is that he was in a stolen car.
Wow.
Was it terrible that he died and lost his life at 17? Of course. But that's how the Black Panther Party got started.
They really?
Yes, it's identical to George Floyd.
Wow.
Same thing. Same thing as Black Lives Matter. That's why Black Lives Matter is not good. No, affirmative action is not good.
Yeah.
It is not. And you shouldn't be wanting something like reparations or waiting on it. You should be ashamed of yourself to even want something like that.
Yeah.
And your two callers, I can listen to both of them because they kind of both of them are right in a way, because I'm going to tell you something. Slavery was not racist. Slavery was the epitome of capitalism and business.
Interesting. Interesting. I don't know if it was the epitome of capitalism because...
It's free enterprise, man. It's business.
It is free enterprise, but it's also not necessarily ideal in that...
No, you're right. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Right about that.
In that,
but I
like,
can tell you this.
If you never pay, you're still taken care of, no matter how good of bad of a job you do. There has to be some incentives because human nature is going to slack off if you're.
Oh, you know, it's funny how white people know more about black people's history than black people do, because both of these guys are on point. You'd never get that out of a few select of your callers. They call in with the victimhood. And I'm going to tell you something as a black man. Anybody that's black that comes to you and talk that victimhood, it was racist, they're just not functioning correctly. And
right.
As far as the Uncle Tom statement, that's why Larry Elder named his documentaries Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom, I told you before, was a hero.
Yeah.
And that's why he used it. And Jesse doesn't even get bothered about it when people call him that.
Right.
It's actually a compliment.
Yep.
And now, I've heard these terms growing up. Now, this guy, Matthew Johnson, that gets killed, this is why I tell you, people that talk about what happened to us in the 50s and 60s, I'm telling you, when Matthew got killed, I do vaguely remember the incident. Did I know the names? Per se? No.
Yeah.
As I looked at this story, I look at the date. It's like, what, September, October, 1966? James, I was six. That's why I tell you. People that talk that madness about what was being done during the civil rights movement, you were children.
Right.
It's not
I
your
know.
Fight.
And you're brainwashed with selective facts. And some of the facts
pretty
are not
much.
The whole, don't give you the whole truth about even
pretty
the situation
much.
That you're talking
and how
about.
And how about the fact that white folks know more about their history than they actually do? Because, see, if you ask a black person about the Black Panther Party and how it was started, they're not going to tell you this story. And I want you to look it up. Matthew Johnson was shot by SFPD in Hunters Point, 1966.
Wow.
That made me five or six years old. That's not my fight, brother.
Of course not. Thank you, William. Appreciate you getting that across. Thanks for fixing your phone.
You were more right than I was on that. Like you said, it was phony. It was phony. It's just, you know what it is? It's agitating.
Right. Yep.
This kid was in the wrong, and then you get the Panthers party gets kicked off, and profits and all of it.
Oh, can you take that down? I think
you know what I mean. Get the book deals and all the fame. Off of somebody getting killed by the police. Same thing with George Floyd. And as for George Floyd, you could see on a freeze camera, you can see the dope in his mouth.
Oh,
so
really?
I don't know
if that's true, but I've heard people make that claim. I got to run, William.
Mouth.
It's great to hear from you, man.
You too, man. You take care, man.
All right.
All right.
You too. Bye. Man. I got to get to these super chats that I'm remiss in not getting to. Last week, Birdie Bound B bought 5 coffees. I believe that's Birdie Bound Brian. Where there are 2 or more, great show, Hake. Howdy to the fellows. That refers to Hake's co-hosting with Joelle Friday and Krishan the Don of Misfit Nation. Thank you, Birdie Bound B. Birdie Bound Brian. Alex bought 3 coffees. Thanks, Hake. I appreciate you all. Thank you, Alex, with your three coffees. Very kind. Sion C bought a coffee. Stop having that guy as your guest. I presume that she's talking about Krishan, the Don of Misfit Nation. He caused a lot of drama last time he was there. He did not cause that drama. He was just being himself, and the drama that was simmering within you guys who overreacted the N-word and stuff welled up. You should be thankful that he was on so you could see the evil that you believed into overreacting to the N-word, because he said the N-word a few times ago. And he doesn't say that anymore, I mean, at least not on the Hake Report, because we keep it family-friendly, child-friendly. Don't say the N-word too much, kids. Whatever. But Sion C, that's a you problem. That's a yourself problem, not you real you. That is an overreaction to something that is no big deal. Literally no big deal. I don't understand the the hatred for this guy. He's just being normal, and he's saying stuff. Now, as a host, I get that I'm seeing him differently from how you guys as listeners see him. Because when I was a listener, and JLP would have different people on, or different guest hosts sitting in for him, some of them I was like, I don't want to listen to this guy. I want JLP. I understand that. So, of course, people have their different tastes, and they're entitled to that. But to be bothered by it is is a signal to you to check yourself. He's not a troublemaker, necessarily. Popcorn Thump Keg bought a coffee. On the topic of minimum wage, Barbara Lee made headlines when she made the idea of a $50 an hour minimum wage. This is not pithy, but I'm going to do my best, Popcorn Stump Keg. I've been spoiling you, and you've been spoiling me, and so we'll do what we can to make it sharp. Let's sharpen each other, not make each other dull. So there was some debate, $50 an hour minimum wage. Some debate whether she was referencing California or nationally. Let's put aside that for a second. You mentioned in one of your debates, modern day debate, I believe, sometimes Trump will throw out these crazy ideas on policy. Indeed. He'd throw out, not even necessarily crazy, but stuff that you wouldn't think of, or allegedly said something about Hitler. He thinks outside of the box, and the people around him, advisors, et cetera, rein him in, so, quote unquote. And in general, a more reasonable and agreeable solution is reached, but it also shakes things up and allows you to think freely. So when it comes to minimum wage debate, specifically Barbara Lee's comments on $50 an hour, do you afford her the same latitude of being able to throw out wild ideas? Yeah, of course. To get the conversation started on the topic, I love it. I love conversation starters. I say get rid of minimum wage. She says $50 an hour minimum wage, and then let's come to an agreement and tell her not to worry her pretty little head. And I use the term pretty and little loosely in her case. Shout out to Barbara Lee and ugly big-headed gals. No, Barbara Lee is mildly attractive, huh? I forget. And judged exactly as she expressed it. Does what she say have to be taken at face value and judged exactly as she expressed it? No, I like when people say stuff, whether it's on their mind, whether it's insane or not. I really like it. Let the people speak their minds. Freedom of speech. And people can laugh and mock them, of course, because it is ridiculous. But it is a, I like to know what people are thinking. It makes for more interesting discussion than just repeating the same old lame thing about, like, common sense gun legislation. For the most part, people are detached from their common sense. Everybody has it within, but they don't have access to it. Access not being a communist buzzword, not meant as a communist buzzword, you're separated from your common sense by way of anger, brainwashing, knowledge, learning, woman logic. I know Lin Yanxin hates that term, but you are separated from your common sense by sin. I was listening to Bill Lockwood yesterday before church with Jesse Lee Peterson. Bill Lockwood appears on the Jesse Lee Peterson show sometimes the last Tuesdays of the month. And he talked about how sin messes with your reasoning, destroys your ability to reason. Isn't that true? So true. Angry people are blind. You hear that, Mead? Emotional people, watch yourself. Guys, this has been the Hake Report. Jaime in Minnesota wanted to comment on slavery and Trump. And the rest of the callers, I cannot get to you. I got to get ready for Joel Friday TV and the rest of the super chatters. Can't get to your super chats. Enjoy. Let's do Wet and Rusting by Menomina. Menomina Monday. We're skipping Soul Junk Sunday. Be right. Adios, America. Catch Joel Friday TV next. Bye. And when you unravel the secret, we'll travel. Sort of take risks. The best. Some best. Anchor Baby on the guitar. Kind of fun, huh? It's Christian, I think. Maybe. Octopus on the drums. Joel Friday on the keys. Who on the xylophone? The pessimist. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, it's kind of quiet. Oh, it's quiet. See, it's low. So I'm singing all loud over it. I better get out of Joel Friday's way. Adios, America. Bye.